Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
And hello, everybody. Happy Party Friday. Welcome to the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Truth Straight Up, with me, Julie Hayden, and Chuck Bonniewell. Chuck, though, had some meeting stuff to take care of. He may join us later, but I'm thinking he probably won't. But he will be back for sure on Monday. Hey, if you want to go ahead and call in today, we can certainly do that. 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. If you're on Zoom and you want to go ahead, just either raise your hand or just go ahead and pop in if you want. And also your comments too. We'll have plenty of time to read the comments. Wanted to start off to talking a little bit about, I was right on something. I had predicted that the debate, when all was said and done, wasn't going to be much of a game changer at all. And that's turned out to be pretty much the truth. I think both sides are claiming victory. Neither side showed much of a change in the polling at all. I think anecdotally, and I do kind of, I was reading one columnist, and he was, he's a liberal guy, but he was saying that one of the, acknowledging that probably nothing changed. And he said one of the, although it was better for Trump in terms of the undecided voters, he said it's really hard to poll undecided voters because how do you find them? It's really hard, expensive. And, you know, are they really undecided or are they really leaning one way or the other? But he even agreed that anecdotally, it looked like the so-called undecided voters were more leaning toward Trump, which is interesting. And I think it has a lot to do and it has a lot to say about how people don't care very much about the mainstream liberal media narrative anymore, because they've all been saying Kamala won, Kamala won, Kamala won. And I think probably we talked a little bit about this. I think she probably did win a little bit in terms of style. I think in terms of substance, Trump clearly won. And apparently that's what anecdotally the undecided voters were looking for. They were looking for substance, right? They know Kamala hates Trump. They know all this, right? She's trying to convince us that she's not Joe Biden. Well, so then what are her policies? And that's been one of the main criticisms, that she didn't really get into that. The other thing I want to talk about, and I found a fun thing, thank God for Twitter and Elon Musk, on the internet, a lot of talk about the bias of ABC News. In fact, there's been some report, although I haven't seen this, so I think this was manufactured news, that there was a whistleblower going to come forward with emails proving that ABC had given the questions ahead of time to Kamala, had worked with Kamala's team to make sure that she knew she was going to be protected and that they were going to harass Trump but not harass her. I haven't seen anything like that. ABC denies it, which of course they would. Personally, I think it's probably true, frankly. I don't think that there's anybody is stupid enough to put that in an email form. And I don't think any ABC employee who would have been in a position to see that email would be sharing it because they would lose their job. But I suspect that's true. You know, the moderator, whatever her name is, Lindsay Davis, I mean, she was her sorority sister, right? The ABC news person introduced Kamala to her husband. So you're trying to tell me that there weren't assurances given to Kamala Harris that they weren't going to do to her what happened to Joe Biden? I don't buy that for a second. But it's interesting, somebody put out on Twitter, they ran the debate transcripts through AI and asked if it showed, you know, just said, hey, AI, I don't know if it was ChatGPT or whatever, but said, you know, for an analysis of potential evidence of bias. And you will not be shocked to hear that the AI, liberal as it can be sometimes, found that, yes, indeed, there was quite a bit of evidence of bias on the part of the moderators. So, Thomas, if we could please play the debate bias soundbite.
One, tone in questioning. Example. One, David Muir's question to Donald Trump regarding January 6th. You told your supporters to march to the Capitol. Is there anything you regret about what you did on that day? Analysis. The phrasing of this question frames Trump's actions in a negative light. suggesting direct responsibility for the Capitol attack. While January 6th is an important event to question Trump on, the repeated framing of Trump as the instigator of the attack might suggest a critical tone. The absence of any comparably critical or pointed questions towards Harris might suggest an imbalance. Example 2. David Muir's follow-up after Trump's defense on January 6th. Muir presses Trump on personal responsibility for the attack, while Trump deflects by placing the blame on Nancy Pelosi and the Washington, D.C. mayor. Muir insists, "The question is about you as president, not about former Speaker Pelosi." Analysis. Muir continues to steer the conversation toward Trump's actions, while allowing Harris more leeway to respond to broader topics without similar pressure. 2. Fact-checking Trump, but not Harris. Example. During the discussion on Springfield, Ohio, David Muir interjects to clarify Trump's claim about immigrants eating pets. "We did reach out to the city manager of Springfield. He told us there have been no credible reports of specific claims of pets being harmed, injured, or abused." Analysis. Muir quickly fact-checks Trump's more outlandish claim about Springfield. While fact-checking is part of a moderator's role, there's no evidence in the transcript that the moderators similarly fact-checked any claims made by Harris. If Trump's statements are scrutinized more rigorously than Harris, that might suggest an element of bias. 3. Lack of follow-up questions for Harris. Example. When Harris was asked about her stance on an abortion ban, the moderator asked, "Would you support any restrictions on a woman's right to an abortion?" Harris responded broadly by discussing Roe v. Wade without directly answering whether she supported any specific restrictions. Analysis. The moderators did not press Harris for a clear yes or no answer or a follow-up question, which contrasts with the way they pressed Trump on certain topics.
And I think we all saw that, right? You could see that going on live. The tone of the questioning, the way that they, you know, they let Harris get away without answering. And the good news is, I think that, you know, this is not, the conservative treehouse mentioned this, and I agree with it. This is not 2015. We no longer, frankly, believe much of anything the mainstream media tells us. And I think no matter what side you're on, right, I think the liberals are happy to hear it, and they're happy to, you know, repeat it and parrot it. But I think they, too, know that it's not true. The way they keep repeating that police officers died on January 6th. I mean, they know that. That's not true. And they keep saying it anyway. And they do that because they know no one's going to call them on it. But I don't think people buy that anymore. People are way more sophisticated. And I think COVID, we've talked about this before, had a lot to do with it because, again, it was the kind of thing you could see with your own eyes, right? The media kept telling you all of this stuff. The government kept telling you all of this stuff. And you could see over and over in your everyday life that it simply wasn't true. And I think that it all started to fall apart then. So there were ability to push a narrative is vastly diminished. And so they can go on and on all they want about Kamala Harris winning. And all the MSNBC people and the talking heads can talk about how Kamala Harris won and she crushed Trump, right? But the average person out there isn't buying it. And I think that's why we're not seeing any difference in the polling. It is interesting. I think it's smart for Trump to say, you know, "I'll debate maybe on Fox News, but maybe I won't debate." I think both sides should just not debate again. I think that the debate form, as we saw at ABC, it's stupid. I don't know why either party does it, because all it does is, make money for the networks. And I don't think it does anybody any good. I think you've got formats like Trump's interview with Elon Musk. You've got Trump goes on every podcast except ours, but every podcast out there, right? And no matter what the demographics are, and reaches way more people by doing that. Now, you know, Democrats traditionally, I mean, she had that heavily edited interview. She may go on some late night talk show that nobody watches anymore, where once again, it'll be a kind treatment. But anyway, that's it on the debate. I just thought it was kind of fun to have the AI analysis of it. Wanted to sort of segue into the whole eating pads, Venezuelan gangs, because that, I think, what Trump did successfully, more with the outrageous claim that people are calling, which is not actually outrageous. It's true, by the way. But it has really, I think, called to attention the problem of these illegal particularly the criminal gangs that are coming in, that the open borders, it's not just, you know, nice families seeking a better life for their children. These are terrorists. These are organized crime members who are coming into our country, and they're protected. And I'll explain, and we're paying for them to be here in the first place. But one of the things that Trump was criticized for was appearing to be angry. And yet I thought, like Megyn Kelly said, we were angry watching what they were doing. He deserved to be angry. And Trump addressed that, I think, at his rally yesterday. Thomas, if we could please play the Trump angry soundbite.
But I am angry about Venezuelan gangs taking over Aurora, Colorado. And illegal Haitians, they came in, illegal Haitian migrants taking over a beautiful place. It was so beautiful. Springfield, Ohio. I was there. I campaigned there a while ago. Springfield, it was so beautiful. Now it's just, what a place. Can you imagine you have this small little community, all of a sudden you have 20,000 illegals in your community. Nobody knows where they come from. I'm angry about young American girls being raped and sodomized and murdered by savage criminal aliens. I'm angry about rampant inflation destroying our middle class, and the American people are also very angry about that.
And I think that was brilliant. I think that was a great strategy move because he did appear angry and people were criticizing him for it. And I think he said, I am angry and you should be angry too. And I think that's a great twist. And Leo, you're right. It was great that Trump said on Fox and Friends that he would not do a debate with Martha McCallum or Brett Baer. Exactly. Just don't do any more interviews with somebody who you know is going to be biased and you know is going to try to sink your candidacy. Interesting, though, Trump said he may, and who knows, maybe he's just teasing this, but he may come to Aurora. He said he may go to Springfield. My guess is he'll go to Ohio. I don't know that he'll come to Colorado. I'm not sure how much emphasis the Trump campaign, I'm sorry to say, is putting on Colorado. But be that as it may, I wanted to talk about the Venezuelan gangs. You still have the Michael Bennett. You still have the liberal media. You still have liberal elected politicians in Colorado saying there are no Venezuelan gangs. They're not taking over anything. And it's just racist to talk about it. But we need to talk about it. And it's not racist to talk about it because it's true, right? And they use it will take over. Well, I don't know. When you've got gangs running an apartment complex and you have the police and the politicians refusing to do anything about it, I don't know what else you call that, but a takeover, right? The Venezuelan gangs, I think we need to understand a couple of things because they're calling them gangs, but they're not really gangs. This is not a group of large group of misguided teenagers and misguided youth, right? That are simply acting out. This is not your Bloods or your Crips or something like that, where they have ties to the community, even loose as those ties might be. No, this is an international criminal organization funded and set up by the cartels to come here, sell drugs here, make money here, right? And then send that back to the cartel. And the gangs have been here. There have been various gangs, but these Venezuelan gangs are particularly ruthless and, more importantly, organized. I covered gangs in Colorado. I mean, remember we had the Summer of Violence, I forget when it was even, but many years ago, where the fights between intergang and then the Bloods and the Crips was all the news, right? And they were establishing drug dealing territory. And like I said, it was violent and it was horrible. And it was a problem and it continues to be a problem. But the level of violence was nothing like we see now. The level of organization was nothing like we're seeing with these Venezuelan and these South American gangs. The Bloods and the Crips were mostly kids, teenagers, right? Frankly, because a lot of them got arrested by the time they got to be adults. But they were from essentially the neighborhood, right? I think Colorado Boulevard was the dividing line between the Bloods and the Crips. I forget which side was on which. But many of them went to grade school together. Their grandmothers went to church together. They had some neighborhood ties, and there were limits to what they would do, and there were limits to what how they would take advantage of the community, right? And not only that, but when they committed crimes, they didn't have anywhere to go. I mean, maybe they could go to California, or maybe they could go to Missouri or something like that. But for the most part, they couldn't go very far. And not only that, but everybody knew them. So if they committed a crime, and they knew that, the police could address it and solve it. And, you know, don't even mention the fact that now we have sanctuary city laws, so we don't. So these Venezuelan gangs, I think it's not like a gang, okay? These are not misguided youth coming here, seeking a better way of life and just falling into some criminal activity while they're, you know, waiting for the better life to manifest itself. No, these are organized international criminal organizations coming here with the sole purpose of committing crimes and making money from those crimes. And they don't care who they hurt in the meantime. While Kyle Clark and the liberal media is trying to tell you, oh, you know, you're all just being racist. A law firm, Perkins Coie, by the way, which was the, weren't they the ones that Hillary Clinton hired? But that's a different story. But it'd be a liberal law firm, was hired by one of the property owners, right, to look into this. And they found, and this is out there in the media, they found horrible examples. So what would happen is these Venezuelan gang members would come in, they would attack and beat up and threaten to kill the actual landlords that were there. They would take it over with guns. They would bring in people and stick more Haitian gang members into the apartments there. They were extorting money from the people who were renting there, who were also illegal immigrants, by the way. They were setting up rooms for, or not were, but are setting up rooms for prostitution. They were selling children for sexual prostitution, right? So human trafficking was going on. They were selling drugs. They would get a guy would come in for prostitution. They would shake him down for drugs, see if he wanted to buy drugs. I mean, they clearly, this law firm found by talking to people there, this is clearly what was going on. So when Mike Kaufman, the mayor of Aurora, says, well, I wandered through and it didn't seem all that bad. Well, yeah, you're not living there. And by the way, there's a lot of attention there now. So some of that has calmed down, but it's gone to other places. They didn't say, oh, well, I guess we lost Colorado. No, they've just moved into other places. And this is what they're doing. That's why they're here, to make money off of prostitution, to make money off of drugs. Now, I don't know how long it is before some of the other gangs that are like MS-13, some of these other gangs start, you know, fighting them. I mean, I think that is another real potential for violence that would make the summer of violence look like a picnic when you start looking at all of that. But what's really interesting about these Venezuelan gangs is we paid to bring them here, right? A newspaper, Citizen City Journal, did a great job at looking into this. Let me look at my notes here. So the feds, under COVID Relief Act, gave billions of dollars to Denver. Okay. Denver then gave millions of dollars, multi-million dollar contracts to two local NGOs, non-government organizations, right? Who were supposed to use the money and did use the money to place illegal immigrants in apartments. So this was your tax dollars, $3.8 million to Denver. They put in 2024 already, they've already given these two NGOs almost $13 million. They just won, by the way, a big community award. Can you believe that? These two organizations, it's, let me find the name, Vive Wellness and then Papagayo. Run by two people who never had any experience running NGOs, by the way. So those people, you know, are making a ton of money. They got $12 million this year. And so what? To set up cartel, hotels for cartels. But it's our tax dollars that did this. And that's why the Democrats are so insidious. So the government gives money to the city of Denver. Denver gives money to the NGOs. The NGOs use the money to put people in these apartments, and then everybody washes their hands. And because there's so much money being made and laundered, right? They certainly can't have pesky tenants, pesky citizens, pesky residents raising their hands and saying, oh, excuse me, but there are all of these crimes being committed. So it's just astonishing that it's our tax dollars. Here we got some great comments here. Leo says he needs to come to Colorado and partake in a Party Friday. That would be a hit with Barney as the guest. Exactly. Overnight, this is from Johnny, who's running for HD5, by the way. KOA is still saying what is going on in Aurora is not happening. And from Leo, Johnny, there will come a tipping point. And that's what I worry about. To me, like, frankly, it's like the other gangs, they don't just like cede the territory, right? I think that tipping point could come. Now, I don't know. Maybe they buy each other out. Maybe they negotiate. But it's only going to get more violent, right? And then from Barney, the mayor is an effing clown. Exactly. From Jacob, 20,000 immigrants invaded Springfield, Ohio, population of 58,000. I hear the Springfield Food Bank is running out of food. And then from Jacob, ABC should do a full investigation into the debate. I don't know what they told the Harris's campaign. Exactly. And Charlene. Yeah, Charlene, you had a great Facebook post looking at the declining property values in Aurora, which makes sense, right? If you were coming here, would you like want to go live in Aurora? I'd be like, no, that's okay. And buy a house there. So there's all this trickle down effect. But one of the things too, though, is it's sanctuary city policy. So it's our tax dollars, number one, are being used to bring these criminal organizations into our neighborhoods, okay? And then the sanctuary city policies that the stupid Democrats have put into place protect them, right? So local law enforcement, we've done stuff with this forever. Local law enforcement is prohibited. In fact, in Denver, it's a fireable offense for law enforcement to cooperate with Homeland Security people, with the immigration officers, right? So if you've got when you look at, and the Do Better Denver people on Twitter and on Instagram are doing a good job. When somebody's arrested, right? They run their criminal history. Well, how do you run somebody's criminal history if they're using a fake name, right? And they ask them where they're from. Now, a serious clue a lot of times is the fact that they don't speak English, right? But that's, none of that is mentioned on the arrest report. It just puts down unknown, right? Like what, they didn't ask the person, but the point is they're not really allowed to ask the person, right? And these guys all have aliases. And what happens is, so number one, they can't report it. And so they can't call ICE and say, hey, do you have this guy in your database? Is he a known terrorist? Is he a known narco terrorist? Is he a known cartel member? Is he a known sex trafficker? Is he a known child sex trafficker? Can't even ask that, right? The immigration status, whether it's legal or illegal, is not considered a factor when the judge is set bond or bail, right? So, you'd think that that might be something to consider in terms of, is somebody a flight risk or not, but it's not something they consider. So under the sanctuary city policies combined with the criminal justice unreform policies, right, that the everybody gets released in a personal recognizance bond, which is nothing more than a pinky swear to come back to court. It's like, so let's just think about this. You're a Venezuelan gang member. You're doing drugs. You're extorting money from other illegal immigrants. So no compassion there. You're running a child sex trafficking ring and you're busted on something and they don't know who you are. They have no idea where to look for you if you leave. And they tell you, hey, be sure you pinky swear you'll come back to court on your court day, right? I mean, that's ludicrous. It's just ludicrous. And they know it, right? Here's the thing. 21-year-old guy, you guys might have seen this. There was a lot of news about this because there was videotape of it. Some of these Venezuelan gang members have been basically terrorizing jewelry store employees. They've been breaking into jewelry stores, pistol whipping the employees, and then robbing the jewelry stores, right? And one of them, a 21-year-old, was finally arrested. Be curious to see if he's still behind bars. But he was previously arrested in another sanctuary city, Chicago. He was trying to hide a gun that had been used in a shooting, right? They kind of had 43 rounds with him and he was trying to hide it, right? And, but what do they do with him? Do they say, well, wait a minute, here's an illegal immigrant, Venezuelan gang member, illegally possessing a gun that's been used in a crime. Maybe he's connected to the crime. I don't know, just figure. Maybe he knows somebody who is. Maybe we should talk to this guy. Nope. They let him go. So what does he do? He comes to Denver, right? Or Aurora, I guess, and starts committing crimes here. And they know this. And that's a thing that when they keep telling you, Michael Bennett, it's like, oh, you're being racist to talk about it. It's like, it'd be as if it doesn't matter where they're from, right? It matters where they're from in the fact that they don't, they if we would just enforce the border laws, they wouldn't be here. So all of these crimes, all of these things, all of this terrorizing of neighborhoods and communities in Aurora wouldn't be going on if we just enforced our border rules, right? But we don't. So the criminal organizations know that, and they come here and they're taking advantage of us all. And Charlene, you're absolutely right. And if you think, well, yeah, but I don't live near, where these apartment complexes are, it's not going to affect me. It is. Go ahead, Charlene.
Oh, yeah. Can I say something? Sure. I looked at that and I thought, well, maybe it's just a seasonal thing where all these price cuts are coming along. And then I thought, well, they're lowering interest rates, but that should have the inverse effect on the house and prices should go up because the interest rate will be lowered. You see, so I'm looking for these other factors that could be causing these price cuts. And so I looked at other towns, and I looked at my hometown of Little Rock, and there's just like two price reductions. But when you go in the Aurora on Zillow, there's just price reduction. One house was reduced by $50,000, another one by $25,000. Then I thought, let me go to Ohio. What's Springfield?
Right.
Girl, you need to get on there. It's like 3 hours ago, listing, new listing, 2 hours ago, new listing, 4 hours ago, new listing. There are 251 listings in Springfield, Ohio. 20% of them are from the last 5 days.
Oh, Charlene, you're an investigative reporter there. I mean, well, exactly. Somebody made a comment. Leo was saying, Sharon Springfield, one couple was talking about moving after living there 45 years with the house paid for, but now it's worth nothing. Exactly.
Yeah, well, it's just amazing. And then 20% of them were within the last 48 hours of the new listings. People are finding out they don't want to be left, holding the bag. It's like people think it's not going to affect them, like the people in the gated communities and all that, right. But it affects the whole community. And, Thomas Wolfe wrote a book about that, about how one thing can affect the whole community, even though you think you're safe. And that's why I kind of rely on the law of unintended consequences to get us through some of these things, because right now, I'm sure the chamber and Mike Kaufman are all gathered together, or else they're texting. What do we do about, the truth getting out? And that's why they're trying to gaslight jurors.
Exactly. They don't want to.
Yeah. All these great people, they're trying to gaslight them and make the world think, no, they're telling the lie. But if they were telling the lie, people wouldn't be putting their houses up for sale.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Because that's just a lie. But people know.
And look what's in Denver. You talk about unintended consequences. So Denver has turned itself, into just, a ghetto place, right? And, the mayor wants to spend, hundreds of millions of dollars to fix up downtown, not to address the homeless crisis, not to address the drug crisis, right. Not to address the illegal immigrant crisis, which, I could tell them, it's like there's no point in spending that money. People are not going to come downtown. No point. They don't address the minimum wage, right? So restaurants are closing all over. Well, what's happened with that now? Schools in Denver are closing, right? Because everybody's moving out of Denver, those who can, right? So then schools close. Well, what does that do for the kids who are left behind? Everything goes to pieces.
Exactly.
And when you have rotten schools, right, it's really hard to get new businesses to come to Colorado.
It affects your bottom line. People who kind of go through life like, I don't need to worry about that. It's not going to bother me. But property values affect everybody. So when it starts affecting you, that's when you start paying attention. And I think, it's a tragic thing what's happened, but I think it's kind of a good thing in a way that it's helping to wake people up that we don't want. Why would they fly in these Haitian immigrants? There were no jobs there whatsoever.
Right.
So it's all the Coward Piven strategy, which is replacement theory. Well, that's what it's all about.
Replacement theory. And let's just go back. Didn't we, not that long ago, the Clinton Foundation and the American government, and again, our tax dollars, didn't we spend like bazillions of dollars in Haiti, right? After the hurricane, right? I mean, didn't we send all of this money to Haiti?
Yeah.
So they should all be millionaires there, really, right?
Yeah.
And so where'd that money go, right?
And jobs and everything. But it was thrifted. And it takes stuff like this to wake people up. And I hope that we continue to do that. Okay. Thank you, Julie.
You, Charlie. No, great, great comments. Well, that's great investigative reporting, because you're right. That sort of proves it's like, if everybody's all of a sudden listing their house for sale in Springfield, and that's another thing I wanted to talk about too. It's like Trump, I don't know if he's just really clever, or if he's just kind of lucky, or if he somehow, I think he just has his pulse on what matters to people. And so when you talked about the eating cats, eating dogs, yes, it's been fun and hilarious to watch the memes that are out there about it. I mean, they're just hilarious. And it's been put to music, things like that. It's funny. But the other thing is it's true, right? They keep trying to say, oh, it's not true. It's not true. It's not true. It is true, right? After all these people are now coming forward saying, yes, there are reports of pets being killed. But I think Tucker Carlson talked about that too. I found this soundbite. And here's the thing. They know that they're lying when they say it's not happening, because in Haiti, there is one of the key religions. It's voodoo. And it's not like it's got a different spelling, V-O-U-D-O-U, I think it is. But it's kind of like voodoo, right? And it's been here in Denver forever. I remember, again, doing stories where you would have periodically people's pets, a lot of times their cats, would disappear. And the thing is, this religion uses them for animal sacrifices, right? This and not making judgment, but they do, and that's part of it. You can, if you search it up, not on Google won't let you, but go to DuckDuck, Google will just come about its fake news, right? But if you go to DuckDuckGoose and just do, you know, Haitian witchcraft, right? A National Geographic article came out not that long ago that said one of the key tenets of this was sacrificing animals, and that's a part of their thing. And so Tucker Carlson addressed this too. If we could please play the Tucker Carlson soundbite.
No, here's the point, though. It's not that the pets are being eaten, it's that they're being sacrificed, actually. That's the truth. We've imported a lot of people, over 5% of the population, from a country in which witchcraft is the dominant religion. That's not a guess. I've been to that country. I know a lot of great people from that country, by the way. I'm not attacking everyone in the country at all. But the fact is that the people in question come from a country in which witchcraft is the dominant religion and in which human sacrifice is a regular occurrence. That's just a fact.
And there's the thing, you know, you anymore, you have to say, when you're talking about facts, like Tucker says, I'm not attacking everyone. That's a tactic too, to kind of Charlene's point that they use. And if you say, oh, Haitians don't sacrifice animals, or, you know, the Haitian witchcraft in Haiti doesn't sacrifice animals. If you say that, all of a sudden you're attacking all Haitians. And the next thing you know, well, now you're attacking all black people, and you're attacking all everything, right? And you're like, not, you're just stating a fact. Hey, Barney, is that you? Go ahead.
Hey, yeah, I want to say Charlene's kind of a stud.
She is.
Awesome. And I would say, you know, she brought up Aurora. Well, just a minute. This isn't Alex Jones out there saying that there's a problem in Aurora. It was a city council person that stuck up for those people. And these gangs know that they can go after the illegals, the legals that are trying to live legally. Because no one's going to stand up for them. They're screwed. Right. But I would say, bringing up dogs and cats, I'm not going to beat anybody's ass. I'm old now, but God help the poor bastard that lays a hand on a dog or an animal in front of me. God help them. It's going to be a death sentence. I'm just saying. And they do. These witchcraft, all that voodoo crap, they do animal sacrifices all the time. But the liberals, they, you know, you would think they'd be the first ones, you know, the PETA bunch, to stand up. And they won't. Because they're more happy being. And by the way, don't forget the Catholic Church, how much money their stupid things have made with this, all this money that's been dumped in. But going back to Aurora, I would want to go off on the cops a little bit, even though I know they're not quite as. I've always said that Denver and Aurora were the two police departments you don't want to pick a fight with, because you're going to get the shit kicked out of you. But and so I wouldn't say that's corruption, but it was over with after you did get the shit kicked out of you, just saying.
Yeah.
But where are the cops with any balls? I mean, how do you sit back knowing that this is going on in your city and you don't do anything about it? I mean, it's just, it's real. I don't care if those people are illegal that are getting brutalized. It's just, look, at you've emboldened these people to just treat people like, it's just wrong. It's just wrong. So they arrested 9 people or whatever it was that they came out with. But you watch. They're going to get a stronghold in the hoods in Aurora. They're going to get a stronghold. And the only one that's going to save them is not going to be the cops or the mayor. It's going to be the people that stand up. That's why. And God help that poor Venezuelan gang guy that picks a fight with the wrong guy. You know, God help him.
And here's how you stop it. It'll simply take putting him in jail and keeping him in jail, right? I mean, if you do that, they'll go someplace else, right?
I'll give you one better than that. they attacked the wrong dude. They attacked the wrong guy, and he takes out 10 of them. I mean, that's how you know what? You earn respect. People are respectful when they know that they don't stand a chance of kick. Everybody gets treated the same when everybody's the same. You've got a gun. I've got a gun. Guess what? We'll be polite. It'll be just fine. But anyway, Charlene, you're awesome. And by the way, you think about your house. That's all most people have. That's it.
Right.
That's their retirement. That's their whatever. You know, I'm going to sell a house and make a couple hundred grand and maybe live my years out. But you think about those. And keep in mind, 50,000 people, that's a small town.
Yeah.
And these people are bailing. They're leaving. You can't. It's horrific. God bless America, but thank God for Donald Trump. That's all.
That's right. Exactly. Thank you, Barney.
Love you, Julie. Charlene, you're awesome.
Thank you. And Leo says Barney is going to John Wick them after they kill this dog. Well, and here's the thing. Again, here's the hypocrisy of the left. So they spend our tax dollars and make themselves rich to bring these illegal criminal gangs into our community, into our neighborhoods, right? Under the guise of being compassionate, right? So it is, as Barney said, who do they victimize? They don't go to the gated communities because they know they will be stopped there, right? They victimize their fellow illegal immigrants because they know nobody can do anything. So you would think that these stupid Democrats who say, oh, we're so compassionate, we care about these illegal immigrants, well, then step up and protect them, right? Step up and protect the illegal immigrants who are living in this apartment complex. But they don't want to do that. They would rather let these people continue to be victimized, let them be sold into sexual slavery, let them be trafficked, let them have the ones who are working, let them be, you know, extortion to pay double rent, right? They would rather let that happen than acknowledge that it's a problem. Jacob, you got your hand up. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. So I wrote that Mark Penn wants a full investigation of the ABC debate.
Right.
And then there's a rumor that says that there's a whistleblower saying that Kamala was given the answers.
Right. I saw that. And,
I but think...
I Oh, go ahead. I was going to say,
betting that the Democratic Party does not want her to win. First of all, Mark Penn is a Democratic operative. And he used to work for Clinton.
Uh-huh.
The reason I'm saying that is because Gretchen Whitmer, the governors of Kentucky and North Carolina, didn't want the job as vice president. And from what I hear, Shapiro didn't want the job either. And they don't want her to win because if she wins, then these people can't run for another 4 years after that. And
you know,
I think Gretchen Whitmer really wants to run in 4 years.
That
from
could
now.
Be. It's interesting. I hadn't even thought of that. Like you said,
that's
just
what
that,
I think is
the infighting. The infighting. Well, we all know the Democrats. They're so ruthless. They would stop at nothing, right? They would drop a piano on her head if they thought it would do something. So, hey, Jacob, thank you for pointing that out. Yeah, Monica, we've got Sherry on line one. Hey, Sherry.
Hi. Sorry, I just couldn't resist. Since you're talking about the culture of the Haitians, the thing is that Americans, we just seem to stick our heads in the sand, and we think that everyone is like we are. Foreigners share our values. They're the same as we are. And so they bring people in. There's a video on X, and it's not to demonize another culture, but the guy is drinking the blood of the cat, and they try to get kittens because they say that blood of the young is even more potent.
Right.
You know, with the Christian value, the Bible makes it pretty clear that you're not to drink any blood of anything. So it's values. We have a different set of values than the Haitians have, the voodoo witchcraft Haitians have. And the cultures don't mix. The only way that you're going to have the immigration that works is assimilation into our society.
Right. Oh, no, exactly. If you were to go to England and try to drive on the side of the road you're used to driving on, right, it would cause a lot of problems, right? You have to make that adjustment. And Sherry, you're right. And that becomes a problem where, again, the Democrats, they want to say, oh, no, you know, you shouldn't have to assimilate. Assimilation is good, right? And again, you know, when you talk about some of the witchcraft things, it's my understanding of some of it is it's not like we would think it's not necessary. It's not satanic, right? There's a difference. But it is accepted there. I mean, again, you're not talking some crazed radical source here. National Geographic talks about it. I mean, and again, I did stories about it when I was on TV. It's in Denver. It's been here forever and in other communities too. And they lie about it. And as you said, and they want us to try to pretend that we can't see what we're seeing with our own eyes.
You know, and what I see is an interesting connection. I just like looking at connections.
Sure.
Clinton's first trip to Haiti on their honeymoon, they fell in love with the Haitian culture and some of these ceremonies, these getting power. But also, I'm sure that you're pretty familiar with the adrenal glands and adrenochrome. And I just find it a very interesting. I'm wondering if this story is coming out to kind of desensitize the public and make this kind of crap normal, because I'm not sure. But it's really interesting. And I can't believe how quick it jumped. I was glad to see it. I'm thrilled to hear you talking about it, how quick it jumped to, I mean, Korea, they eat dogs,
right?
But they got it past eating cats. They got it to what it is, the witchcraft and the
right,
the animal sacrifice. And it's great to see that coming out, and I guess the truth coming out, not just
exactly. And they're trying to tell the citizens. And Sherry, thank you for your call. I appreciate it. They're trying to tell the residents there. Or, you know, they're trying to say no. And the residents are like, no, we saw them. They took our cat. And again, it's not new. It's just that all of a sudden now it's emphasizing the fact that, so you've got criminal gangs taking over. You've got 20,000 people being, you know, again, our tax dollars brought to a community of 58,000, no attempt to assimilate. And they start doing what they did in Haiti, and it was fine in Haiti, but the people in Springfield, Ohio are like, hey, wait a minute. And all of a sudden, if Donald Trump talks about it, he's racist. And if you want to say, look, I don't want him killing our cat, right? All of a sudden, you know, you're supposed to put up with that. Or, you know, I mean, you've seen some memes which are funny. So right now, this is the way they rule, right? Right now, they're telling us it's not true. And you're a racist if you say it. Next time, they'll be saying, well, it's kind of true, but it's okay because they're Haitians. And the next thing they'll be telling us is you're a racist if you don't kill your cat, right? I mean, that's the way they rule. It's like Sherry says, they're trying to desensitize us to what's coming down. And it goes back to what Charlene said too. It's all about stirring chaos, right? And in the way where they talk about Trump being the chaotic one, he's not. He's the one who's trying to restore order. But chaos is necessary for evil to take over, because then we have to turn to the government for help, and the rhinos and the Uniparty will say, okay, you know, we're here to help you, when they're here to do anything plus. We had a ton of comments. Let's see. Oh, Barney says John Wick is a sissy. I would do this, and I should have been a Buddhist. Critters from Barney to everybody. Critters and children off limits. And he loves you, Sherry. Let's see. Clinton made from Barney a ton of money from Haiti. That's right. And Charlene, why are they flying horses of people into America? That's the real issue, not the hordes. I thought, horses? Are they flying horses now too, Charlene? I might know, you never know. Yeah, Leo says, Charlene, do Haitians eat horses? Why are they flying hordes of people into America? It's to destabilize things, right? It's to destabilize things. It's to get names that can be put on ballots. It's for a variety of reasons. It's for cheap labor. It's for all of these things. And they don't want us to think about it. Then from Jacob, gives a whole new meaning to raining cats and dogs. That's absolutely true, too. Couple other things before I wrap up on Party Friday. I got to admit, I'm not a giant Laura Loomer fan. I don't know if you guys follow her on X or on all of her various things. She's sort of like an attack dog for Donald Trump. I think she facts aren't always, I think facts are not necessarily her forte, but she must be doing something right, because all of a sudden everybody is like doing these hit pieces on her. The Daily Mail had a thing and they're showing all these pictures of Trump with his arm around her. Like Trump poses with like bazillions of people and has his arms around them. So, but they're trying to imply, you know, it's like, well, Trump's relationship with a glamorous supporter. This is the headline. Well, Trump's relationship with a glamorous supporter blow up the election for him. And it's like, no, Laura Loomer is like an influencer, right? And I'm sure some things, she has a Trump campaign blessing, but she must be doing something right, because all of a sudden they're attacking her all over the place. This is from Charlene. That's the real issue, the Cloward Piven strategy. You're right. And Leo says he's going to maybe vote for his dead grandmother three times. Want to wrap up, though, with this is a good thing. So Nicole Shanahan, who was with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. before, has been doing some great videos. Or I guess their team is still putting out great videos, only now for Trump. And they have a fun one out there called The MAGA People. So, Thomas, if we could please play The MAGA People.
Lies a fascinating and often misunderstood collective. From its northeastern cities to its midwestern towns, to its expansive west, this courageous group of individuals are most notably known for their unwavering patriotism. Join us as we explore the fascinating world of the MAGA people. As we embarked on our journey, we were judicious in taking all necessary precautions. Our media had warned us that these were a vicious, radical, and even deplorable people. Contrary to what we had been told, we found the MAGA people to be warm, loving, and even rather cheeky at times. As we spent time with the MAGA people, we learned that their mantra, Make America Great Again, is an optimistic belief that the United States will once again prosper by returning to its founding principles of a government by and for the people. Under these beliefs, the MAGA people strive to protect America's Constitution, freedom of its citizens, health of its people, and a yearning to restore the American dream that existed not so long ago.
And it goes on like that, but it's just kind of funny because they pretend like they're flying into like a rainforest area to look for the la 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 people, and instead it's the MAGA people. Okay, this from Jacob. Jacob, I had to read this twice before I got it. Like, it's a blonde thing. So Jacob says, so Party Friday, Darth Vader passed away and his daughter Ella will be giving the eulogy. Elevator, that is. Ha, ha, ha. That's for Party Friday. Hey, on Monday, we're going to have Matt Arnold on. Matt Arnold with the Campaign Integrity Watchdog. He's done a lot of work on judges and just vote no on judges. But he has been fighting the Uniparty and in a horrible fight, just trying to become a lawyer. The Uniparty was doing everything they could to stop him from being admitted to the Colorado Bar. We've talked about it a little bit on the show several months ago, raising all kinds of just ludicrous things to stop him from becoming a lawyer. Well, he finally won with at the Colorado Supreme Court and was sworn in as a lawyer, I think, yesterday. So we'll have him on to talk about that. That's going to wrap it up for us. Thank you to everybody on Zoom and to Sherry and everybody when you call in. We love that too. Chuck will be back on Monday, as will I. But in the meantime, everybody have a great Party Friday.